This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Craig Kopp. It's a year-end tradition that appears to not only be surviving, but thriving in this new media environment. I'm talking about Time's Person of the Year. In 2013, it apparently came down to Edward Snowden and Pope Francis.
Snowden and the Pope, we didn't even know these people 2 years ago, which is very unusual for a person of the year. The Pope's, you know, just the way he's come in and reached out. This is somebody who cold calls people in distress, who washes the feet of a Muslim woman. These are incredible gestures and symbols, and they really matter.
That's Time Assistant Managing Editor Raina Faruhar explaining to CNN how the Pope became its Person of the Year. Here to talk about why Time's Person of the Year is still such a big deal is Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute's Sense Making Project. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Kelly, Person of the Year endures, though it has gone through its own updates. I mean, it used to be the Man of the Year.
Yeah, and you know, they changed it to Person of the Year in 1999. You know, popes and American presidents seem to be the most likely candidates to win this. It started in 1927, and Charles Lindbergh was the first Man of the Year. But it's really come into its own in this modern digital age that we're living in.
Who picks the Person of the Year? I mean, to me, it's always been a bit presumptuous of Time to think it can make that determination.
Oh, it's incredibly presumptuous, and that's why it works. It's a small group of people at Time who run the magazine.
Why does it work? Why are we so interested in what Time thinks is the Person of the Year?
Well, one of the reasons is because we can argue now. It used to be that Time would pick the Person of the Year and the major networks would do a short piece on it, and then it would just go away. And a lot of times you couldn't even remember from year to year who Time had selected. But now we have these conversations ahead of time where we know what their shortlist looks like. And many, many people were lobbying for Snowden long before the decision was made. And after the decision was made, many people have continued to make really good arguments for why it should be Edward Snowden instead of Pope Francis.
And there are a number of other ways that we are getting an idea of who might be the Person of the Year. There are other people doing what Time Magazine is doing.
Yeah, in different ways. Other news organizations select a Person of the Year, and The Guardian in London did select Edward Snowden. Time's readers actually voted for Egypt's General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Facebook released a chart of what people were talking about this year, and Pope Francis topped the Facebook chart too, and Edward Snowden didn't even make the top 10. So that's another way to sort of judge the conversation of who was the most influential person. Twitter released its trends, and they mostly have to do with entertainment. The most retweeted tweet of the year was something that came from Broadway and television star Lea Michele after the death of one of her co-stars.
So you think this is going to continue Time's Person of the Year not fading away, but actually growing in significance because of new media?
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time. In fact, I think Time's Person of the Year will be more relevant now that we all have the tools to argue with Time about whether we agree with their decision or not, which is kind of ironic, isn't it?
Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute's Sense Making Project. In your time, what's the worst choice for Person of the Year by Time Magazine?
Oh, man, I think the mid-70s when they selected women in general, that was a bit annoying.